Evening, Nicholas. Morning, Greg.
Hello?
Morning.
I missed what you were saying, Nicholas. You said somebody just got something.
Yeah, I held a linked data and RDFA presentation for my colleagues today at lunch. And I think that they really got the message.
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Real nice.
And Greg, I saw you posted. I still haven't been able to look at the video or anything, but I saw you posted your Semtex slide video and that you're also talking at the NoSQL conference.
I was asked by one of the people that ran the Semtex show if I would talk at that as well. So it's not set up yet. They probably need to round out their roster. But it certainly is a great audience for us to go to, particularly looking at it from a Mongo perspective.
Right. That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the community that we're targeting with this stuff, or it's one of the communities. But it'd be interesting to get their reaction since they're not very big RDF people.
Well, you know, NoSQL, RDF is sort of in that umbrella, although there's no one speaking there other than me. That comes from that community. But it probably should give a shout-out to Stardog as well, because, you know, Kendall's really been doing a lot with it, too.
Mm-hmm. With Mongo or with Jason LD?
Jason LD. He's pretty dismissive of Mongo's chances in the long run. Joins are very expensive. So depends upon your use case, but
right.
Yeah, he sort of thinks Mongo will shrivel up and go away.
That's interesting. We just switched to Mongo at our company, so we're gonna have to look into that a bit more. I mean, we knew about the whole join issue. We've written most of our software without needing to do joins in the past. But anyway, that's a
Well, the performance numbers for Stardog look quite impressive. I mean, it's really at the top. And apparently there will be a community edition.
Okay.
So it's definitely worth looking at. Is
yeah,
it more traditional store, you know, SQL or a Sparkle store?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's go ahead, Nicholas.
Which one was it?
Stardog?
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I recognize that. Haven't
it's yes. It's just had its 1.0 release a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I remember. I saw something. Is it a Java based?
Yeah, I believe it is Java.
Right. I should take a look at that.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and get started. The agenda is in IRC. Today on the agenda, we have reviewing the latest JSON-LD syntax and API specs, issue 120, which is the expansion of type in expanded form or in expansion, issue 26 is vocab support, possibly adding it back in, and then issue 129 is figuring out if we need to eliminate duplicates in expansion. This was a change that was made to the test suite recently. Anything else that we need to discuss today?
I wonder if we'll have the time if we could discuss a bit about using container with language and ID.
Right. Let's put that at the beginning of the agenda. I don't know if we're going to be able to come to a decision on it today, but we should definitely discuss that. Use of container to specify. So, which issue is this? Unfortunately, I'm 133. I got it.
Right, and
okay.
134. Where am I? 133 and 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
so maybe
that's
you can give a quick overview, Nicholas.
Yeah, either me or Greg, who actually was the one raising it, and you again. We've discussed it a long time ago. I brought up something that I had seen cases where you might want to have the language of a literal as a key. And at that time, I think that we didn't have language, or we only had it in some specific, just in line. But now we've seen other cases where we would like to use it. Greg, you mentioned Wikimedia, or who was it?
That's right. Wikidata is.
All right.
They're quite interested, and they want to use a JSON representation for their API, since Wikidata basically exists to communicate back to other wikis. So they were quite interested in JSON-LD because it would allow them to avoid having a different RDF serialization, which they'd otherwise they'd feel they needed to maintain. So they presented some use cases, which I tried to convey. Where basically what they would like to do is have for some particular topic that they're describing. So sort of like if you think of a wiki info box, that data would be expressed in JSON-LD. But since they want to be able to express the data across all of the various different languages, it's convenient for them to gather that information in under different keys. So in general, it sort of looks like the value as, or the array as object pattern, where you iterate through a number of values having keys associated with them rather than as items in an array. That was sort of the basis of thinking about this. But the thing that perhaps this 133 doesn't get at is that you might that language would have be an effect for things that are contained underneath whatever key references it. So that you could have several different values under there that would all take on that same language. In fact, they'd go so far as to say if they had a video and put it down there. Now, this isn't something that we would express in JSON-LD, but then that would be where they would place the English version or the German version of a video.
That's interesting, definitely, because but I think that it really depends. I believe that if 133 was chosen, that if you didn't have literals, well, actually, it might be that the container language, if you have objects and not strings there, I think that it could be specified in a way so that the expression you use when you use something with a container language, if that object is not a value, that the language is set for everything from there on below. On the other hand, I don't think that language behaves like that in general today. So it really depends on if you can introduce language anywhere, just like you can inject a context anywhere. Hitherto, I think that we only allow language within either as directly contained in the context for everything or in the definition. If we were to allow that language could be placed outside of context and apply to the current object, that would change things.
So, you know, from Denny's, my original discussion, which was sort of conflating these two things, was that, well, perhaps the effect of that is to add a context that defines that language, and that might be a way to be able to handle it. But from Denny's perspective, it's not, he would be perfectly happy if he also had to have a context, if he had to explicitly set a context that defined the language. It's not really a shortcut to avoid extra description. It's an index pattern, which is important.
Yeah.
That he'd be able to access this stuff using JavaScript dot notation.
Yeah, the access, absolutely. That's why, in general, I think that we should study this pattern, and also not only for language, but quite possibly for ID, and maybe even for properties in general, because it's quite common. Well, I say this without having a lot of immediate empirical evidence, but I have a fairly developed intuition, although that's dangerous to say, of course, but I've seen a lot, lots of JSON where keys are used not as properties, but as index keys for some kind of property value. I mean, for instance, we have RDFJSON, the original RDFJSON form, which has as its outer container something that works pretty much like something would work if we were to use that described in issue 134, namely container ID, so that you access the item with the URI in the map. So I think that this pattern is fairly conventional JSON. I'm always wary if we're how long down the path towards a JSON transformation language we want to go. And of course, we don't want to go all the way, but the context is very powerful as it is. And I can't really say that we should do the simplest thing possible in JSON LD, because we have to do something which creates easy to use raw JSON in a uniform manner, and because the simplest form of doing things is RDFJSON, that's the raw form of expressing triples. So we should really look at if we can make it understandable, can we work with container and extend it in a manner to make it possible to adapt more common forms of JSON than we already do.
Right. So I've got a few concerns about this. I don't think I think that the base concern here is whether or not there are a number of base concerns. The first one is whether or not Danny's actually modeling his data in a way that makes sense for JSON LD. And I know that we have this whole zero edit goal that we're trying to go towards, but that is, it's a balancing act, right? There have been certain ways of marking up data that we have just basically said we're not going to support. And this, to me, while we can all look at it and say, hey, it looks like it's going to be useful, we think that this pattern is a very useful pattern, and I agree with that. I'm concerned about the overhead that it adds, not to processing or the complexity of the algorithms, but the ability for someone that doesn't really know JSON LD that well to be able to look at the data and make sense out of it, right? Or to be able to author it in that way. So this is the same argument that what WG used when they were looking at RDFA 1.0. They were saying that you know, you allow all these different ways of marking up data. Quite obviously, the developers are going to get confused about it in some way. Just give them one way of doing something. And so we've already broken that rule with JSON LD. We allow people many different ways of expressing data in JSON LD. In this discussion that we're having right now adds yet another way for them to do that. Now, I certainly feel that we really need to do as much as we can to address Wikidata's use cases, because that's kind of like, if JSON LD can't work for them, then there's a problem. But at the same time, I want to make sure that we actually have a very long or thorough conversation with Danny about how they're modeling their data in why he needs it laid out this way. So my understanding, Greg, is you're saying he needs it laid out this way because he wants people to be able to use JavaScript dot notation to get to the attributes or to get to the values. Is that right? That's the main driver.
Yeah, I think in general that is the point. Is the way we specified it is you index into an array, so you actually have to iterate through the array to find the items that have the attributes that you're looking for. And the idea of using keys would be he can stick with a usage pattern that allows him to directly index in and you use dot net notation. So I guess in response a little bit to what you were saying about intellectual complexity. I guess my feeling of language design is a little bit different, is that simple things should be simple, but more complex things should be possible. And if we basically disallow this usage pattern, have we really, I think we're doing that based upon our own beliefs, and we're not really considering what appears to be a fairly standard usage pattern. I think it can be considered to be fairly straightforward. I'm not convinced that we need to completely support it through all of the, say, compaction or even framing usage patterns, but as a way of being able to, if you just think about it as wanting to have JSON from which you can derive RDF, it seems like an interesting direction to look at.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, thanks. I very much appreciate what you said, Manu, about discussing in depth the usage pattern, but I also have the exact same feeling as Greg, that it is probably a quite common pattern, and I even think that two things. I think that I believe that it will be more predictable to realize this by extending container, because as opposed to probing, the probing scenario makes it a bit much more difficult actually to read the JSON and glean the data. It's more of a you embed certain RDF forms in noisy JSON. I think that might open up some certain cans of worms, which was why we previously said that probing is probably not a good idea. And furthermore, I believe that if we use container for this, for at least language and ID, I think that it will make it fairly predictable to read it. I mean, it's true that you can no longer rely on an object attribute being mapped to a property, but as Greg also said, JSON doesn't use data like that, express data like that. And there are the idea of the context is to specify, as the name implies, specific contextual data patterns, and they are not generalized. And therefore, I think that given this pattern of using the language as a key with dot notation or just access notation is a common pattern, which is for a specific scenario the most expressive and compact and useful data pattern. And to say that JSON-LD can't support it because this scenario has to rely on filtering on lists and matching on attribute values, then you sort of get into the discussion of whether you should use JSON at all if you have to process it, filter stuff out, even if you have a specific context defined. I've seen many, many templating patterns where being able to use keys in this manner would simplify things. And I also believe that if we define it as a mechanism of container, anybody knowing how JSON-LD contexts work will recognize that when they skim the context definition, and they will see, aha, here we have a language map and here we have an ID map. And realize that, okay, that's the usage pattern. I think that should be graspable.
Okay. So I guess what I'm hearing is general agreement that we're going to try and make it work. But there's still, like Marcus said in the thread, there's still some issues that we need to discuss about how compaction works with this stuff and how expansion works and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
The nuts and bolts of how this is implemented is still kind of up in the air.
Yeah, I think that it would work with compaction as well. I experimented with language mapping Gluon before, and it turned out fairly okay. Of course, the problem with the oddly shaped data will certainly highlight the edge cases here. Just as regular coercion does. And for instance, if you have container language and you have a set of values for a certain property, say label, and some of those misses a language property, some are data type properties, and some are just for some bizarre reason actual resources, objects in themselves. I think that the wise way to go about it is to do the same thing as we've done with coercion and say that, well, then it doesn't match that property definition. We already do the same thing if we're coercing to a data type, for instance. So,
I'm sorry, I couldn't really capture that. I think what you were saying was that if you used a key that had this container language, or say container ID in it, in an object where you were also using keys that had other attributes, whereas the first one would be considered more like an array pattern and the second one more like the existing object pattern, then it would be unclear what you're supposed to do. I gather what you were saying was, in that case, that key doesn't match. So the key does not expand to the definition that uses the language map or the ID map or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's viable because this is a very specific usage pattern, a very specific kind of context, and you can only rely on those to work deterministically on data you already know lots about, and it's not wise to try to apply this pattern to very wild data because you don't really know what you have. Actually, in those cases, compacted JSON-LD is probably off the table anyway because things are too oddly shaped to be able to fit into a compacted form.
Okay, so let's. How about this? We should probably table the conversation for now until we get to the point where we have an implementation that looks fairly decent or that we're fairly happy with. Mostly, you know, once we work out the edge cases, I think we should come back and discuss this. And in the meantime, I'm sure the discussion will continue on the issues. The one concern I have is that this does really affect the syntax, so we can't put the discussion of this off for too long. We need to figure out a way to get it working fairly quickly, I think. Okay, but for right now, let's jump on to the rest of the issues. Any objections with moving on to the other issues we have today?
No. I think we've highlighted the discussion.
Okay. All right. Is there anyone volunteering to try and figure out the edge cases for this right now?
With my usual caveat, given time, I really want to, and I did similar things in Gluon, so hopefully I'm any moment now I will pick up my JSON-LD Python implementation and bang away at all of the things here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I want to work on it, but I'm starting a new gig, and my time is really limited right now. In fact, my processor isn't completely up to date with resolutions from the last month or so.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and we're currently on a commercialization push right now, so this is not a high priority for us at this time. But again, I think all of us feel it should be supported at some point. So.
Yeah, and in both my works, I work, especially with the library data now, I am very close to getting back to this because we work with JSON, very instrumental JSON, and it might be easier to sell JSON-LD in these contexts if I can have these features working.
Okay.
So I can promise
I'm wondering if
I hope.
I'm sorry, I stepped
yeah,
on you. I'm wondering if there is some resolution we can come up with that at least expresses some intent.
Sure.
Intend to support. Let's see more.
Something, you know, other container options such as language and ID to address these once the edge cases have been figured out.
No.
Okay, so attempt to support other container options such as container language to support use cases such as wiki datas. Well, I guess to support wiki datas, well, not use cases such as wiki datas. So attempt to support other container options, such as container language, to support use cases such as Wikidata's language map. Wow, that's a redundant. Let me take some of those use cases out.
I'd be interested to see if Richard Sugania has input on container ID, because quite some months ago he asked if JSON-LD could support a specific usage pattern he had, which was based on RDF JSON, and I'm quite certain that example had the pattern of accessing an object by using its URI as a key.
Okay. There's a proposal there that we could plus one if we wanted to. Alright, so that's resolved. So I guess, Greg, you could point the Wikidata folks at that to keep their interest until we try and figure out how to do it, if we can do it.
Yeah, I'll reach out.
Okay, great. Alright, next up on the agenda is reviewing the latest JSON-LD syntax and API specs. I sent an email. Let me actually find links in here. I sent an email to the RDF working group to tell them that we had effectively applied all of their change requests to the two documents. So I've basically marked it up as an FPWD. Okay, here's the email. So I basically told him that we've, you know, addressed Richard and Pat's and Eric's and David's and Gavin's and Hoos's feedback. And I linked to every single commit that we did to address it. And I was fairly thorough in making sure that every piece of feedback that the RDF working group gave us, we responded to with what we had discussed on the telecon last week and the week before that. I don't really think we need to, you know, we don't need to review it line by line, but probably you guys might want to take a look at it. The big changes, you might want to take a look at it over the next week or two. The big changes were that the JSON-LD API now has an introductory portion, an introductory section that's specific to it that talks about expansion, compaction, and converting to and from RDF, and it shows you how you use the API to accomplish that. Let's see. That was a big one. And, of course, between the two documents, there have been issue markers that have been added. The status of the document has been changed to let people know that we've been working on this for 18 months and it's not coming out of left field. Also, you know, warnings about the scope of the document and trying to align with RDF concepts. All that stuff's in there now. So I think that's basically it. I think at this point, hopefully the RDF working group will take a look at it tomorrow and say, okay, after we get, you know, these three people to review the document, we'll publish it as an FPWD. I would expect one more round of changes to the documents and then hopefully an FPWD by July sometime in the month of July. Any questions or concerns about the latest syntax and API specs? All right, then we can move on to issue 120. So this has to do with what the expanded form of type looks like. So should we expand type like we do other things? So give it so type can be expanded to an ID. Or should we just keep it as is, whereas the only thing that you can provide type is a string or an array of strings. Are there any feelings one way or the other on this?
Yeah. So I've laid this out a little bit that I think we have, there's two things that drive this. One is the IRI space for type is different than for other keys other than ID. So that sort of speaks to trying to perhaps keep it distinct and not use the ID pattern. I was somewhat concerned without having looked at the implementation in too much that if we use the ID pattern, it would be a little you'd be in a different context when you were applying that, and that would make the resolution more difficult. Rather, if you needed to know that it perhaps needed vocabulary expansion, or if you needed to be sure that it was expressed as an absolute IRI and not as a relative IRI. So having that be basically directly done on at type, I think it reduces the scope in which you need to make that determination. That said, we do need to consider cases where we have incoming data where we're casting a key to type. And that incoming data might be in the form of an object. So I believe that in expansion, we should tolerate seeing values of that type, which are, or something that is coerced to that type, which are expressed as in the ID form. But that the normalized or the canonical form would be to just be an array of strings, and that's what you would achieve after doing expansion.
Okay, so just to make sure I got that correctly, you are arguing that we should support it as kind of a corner case. So if someone says at type and they have an ob, they associate with an object that has an ID, that's perfectly fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I'm wondering if it's expansion or if it's compaction where that would be the case. Perhaps it's compaction where I've taken something, a document, I've expanded it, and now I want to compact it to have the form of at type.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be on both sides that you'd need to be able to do that.
Nicholas, you're in the queue.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I think I am in agreement with Greg on all of this. I have the same perspective on all of the items brought up, I believe. With one possible exception to the notion of expanding, because, well, if we were to expand type to ID objects, I don't think we should do that, but if we were to expand them, we should also replace at type with the URI for RDF colon type. I think that because we don't, if we don't want that, if we want to keep at type as a distinct notation, I very much agree with Greg, because at type is a syntactical shortcut, an expression of something. If we were to expand that, we should not keep at type as the key. We should use the URI for RDF type. And if we did that, of course, that should be an object with an ID.
Yeah, but that really brings us right into RDF, there's going to be increasing pressure for us to do that, being an RDF working group. But I think otherwise we've been pretty pure at trying to keep the core algorithms sort of free from RDF baggage. So I'm not too keen on using expansion, say expanding type to RDF type. But we did I misunderstand what you were getting at?
No, I think that I understand what you're saying, and I believe I agree. I'm not sure on which side of this I actually will end up. It really depends.
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned about the expansion to RDF type as well. I agree that it would be more pure design as far as design as far as the design's concerned. It would be more pure from an RDF standpoint, but I don't think that we want to kind of push that on people that don't necessarily know about RDF. Meaning, you know, if we replace at type with something else, they're going to wonder what happened to the at type that they specified at least the first time that they use it. And I think that type of confusion is something that we want to kind of keep away from. I think there are really two things we're talking about here. One of them is what happens to the right-hand side of at type, and the other one is what happens to the left-hand side. I'm not hearing a lot of support for the expansion on the left-hand side, so let's talk about the right-hand side.
Well, I believe that on the...
Go ahead.
Sorry. I believe that on the right-hand side, if we use that type... if there is other data there, that should be put into a separate object describing the thing having that ID. If we use that type, always be...
Type is on the left-hand side. Is my dyslexia getting in the way of this conversation? Is that type not the left side?
Yeah, at type on the left side.
Yeah.
And the value, the object, the right-hand side... should never be an object. If you want to describe that at type, you have to describe it in a separate object with that the ID being the same as that at type. Of course, I have encountered cases where I might want to use RDF type as a property instead, and if I recall correctly, the things are working right now in such a way that I can do that in compaction and expansion and all that if I need to use a specific term for type and describe it. So I really need to... Now, I'm pretty sure that we came to that conclusion previously. And I'm certainly concerned, as you are, that we shouldn't expand that type because it will confuse things. We wouldn't expand that type for data types either, so...
Right. I'm a bit lost as to where we are in this conversation.
Yeah, I am too.
What are we... Here's what I thought we were talking about. We're talking about whether or not we allow an object on the right-hand side of at type specifically when you do expansion. Or basically, should that be the default? Should that be the default? So let me type something out in IRC. Should we do this? So this is in expansion. Should we do this or this? Right. So that's what I thought this issue was about.
Yes, but so there's two halves of this. Is one, if we have, say, type fof person, does it expand into the object form or just into the IRI form? And I believe that we all agree it should expand into the IRI form. The question is, if we have something like this, all right. So if we have this, and then the context creates an alias for type to at type, we've already received something in expanded form, with the ID form. Is that legal? So when we expand that, will that turn into basically the Manos example? And I think that's the best way to resolve it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not sure if type was mapped to RDF type, just the regular property, I think that it would be correct to...
If type was mapped to RDF type, then the expanded form would be correct. But yeah. that is the third case. If I've taken something that's, say, been expanded to RDF type, can I now apply a context that aliases the expanded form of RDF type to at type and expect to get something back that is in the normalized form? And I don't think there's anything we need to do about that, because that would just work. If you created, you know, RDF type has the... has the ID of at type and has a type of ID, then that's the way it would be laid out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if we're going to be consistent in expansion, and that's really what we're trying to do with the expansion stuff, is we're trying to be very consistent with what to expect on the right-hand side. I would expect that we would, I mean, of course, we either want to always compress it down to just a string that's interpreted as an IRI, or we want to always expand it out into just a regular subject, what is that definition, Craig?
Subject reference.
Subject reference.
And hey, by the way, if anyone has better names for that stuff, that's just what I came up with because we kept using it and it was very awkward, so we needed some better terms. But
right.
Yeah, it could almost be an object definition and an object reference too.
Yeah. In any case, it's what it, you know. You have a bunch of junk in between two curly braces, and it seems to me that we should always, when we're doing expanded form, we should have a bunch of junk in two curly braces.
So you're saying for type we should expand out to the ID form?
I think so. That's at least my feeling today. I mean, it might change, you know, in 2 weeks. But it seems to me that we do that for basically everything else.
But that means you doing that for
data type
literals.
Data.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I mean.
So here's the problem if we do it the other way. We have to throw data away. Right, so Marcus's example where we expand type to ID objects and we have this label there, we would end up throwing the label away. That's also fine with me. I mean, I think that we can't be, I feel like we have to be consistent on this. And if we're going to allow at type, then we're going to say, you know, and we're not going to do expanded the ID form of it. The argument that I think we should use is, well, we don't do this for data type. Data type's just an IRI. We don't do it for ID. ID is just an IRI, and therefore type is just an IRI. Any other information will get thrown away. If you want to express more information that's associated with that type, then define it somewhere else in the JSON object or the JSON LD document. Does that seem
go ahead. No, sorry to finish that.
I'm just wondering if that seems like a reasonable, consistent approach to this, is that type is no different from ID and data type in that it's used to express an IRI that talks about the type of the object. If you want to say more about that particular type, like for example you're working on a vocabulary document, then say more somewhere else, not in the type field.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that, let me see if I can make this example.
But I'm a little confused, Mono. So I think you started off by saying that to be consistent we should keep type in the expanded form with ID.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you backpedaled. Okay.
Yep.
It is a really tough one because I can definitely see how it makes the data more normalized to express type as in the using the object form.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing that was getting me from there is because of the value space of ID there is different.
Mm-hmm.
But I really could go either way on this. I don't think there's a wrong
answer.
My
problem is that at type is a syntactical, it's a very special form, and confusing the two in expanded form might be difficult to understand. That's why I brought up that from an RDF point of view, the only pure solution is to replace at type with the URI for type.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if this will be readable, but if we have an example similar to, here's an object in the list, actually, in a graph value, based on Marcus's example, where you have a thing and then the type in the object form. That expanded, if you don't want to throw away data but don't use the object form, should reasonably look something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. And so that's basically what we're telling people, is it's possible to express that information, you just have to express it like exactly what you put in the IRC, the last thing you put in IRC, Nicholas. And I think that I don't think that's a big deal. I think that people should be okay with it. This really bites vocabulary designers, I think, the people that are creating vocabulary documents and expressing it in JSON-LD. And I think those people can go through a bit more pain than regular web developers.
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting artifact of the fact that in Turtle you can't do chaining for objects that are also subjects. You can't chain for objects that are subjects. And that basically disallows you from being able to express that in Turtle. And of course, Turtle is what people are going to design it in if they're not using some other program.
Yeah.
So you're saying what Nicholas just put, it disallows you to express that in Turtle?
No, I'm just saying that the way that Nicholas's second form is the only way you could express it in Turtle. The first form can't be done because, you know, I had sort of half proposed that you could use a sort of the square bracket form in Turtle and have something like an equals IRI that would allow you to do chaining, but not with B-nodes. And, you know, I don't think there was really any interest in that, and I wasn't particularly serious about doing it, but it would allow more use of chaining in Turtle, such as we have in JSON-LD and in RDFA, for that matter.
Okay, so it seems like we may have consensus on this. So is the consensus that we for type, when we go to expand it, we do not use the object reference form. It's just either a string or an array of strings that are IRIs. All other information that was expressed, let's say in an ID type. So we could do two things. One of them is we could just throw an error, which I don't think we should do, and the other one is we should just take the value of ID or all of the values of ID and then throw away all the other data in expanded form. Does that sound like what we all just agreed to?
Yes, I believe so.
Throw away or push into another object, as in the example.
I think that's getting to be complex in expansion.
Yeah,
that would be a big change to the expansion form.
Yeah.
It is just throw it away.
Yeah, I can work with that. The only thing that I need to be sure of is that in compaction, I can create not the first example, but I can create something very similar if I really need to, which will look like that if I map type to RDF type in the context and not to app type.
Yeah.
And I believe we've already, a long time ago, really ensured that that is how it works if you do that in the context. Pretty sure.
So you're when you've got data which is expressed using at type that you can get back to something that just uses type, where type is defined as RDF type.
Well, I'm thinking you have
something that's just
RDF.
Let's say it was expanded to RDF type that you can sort of keep it that way when you compact, in which case you certainly could.
Yeah. I'm the round tripping isn't so much a concern. The primary concern is to get from from RDF to compact JSON.
Yeah, you know, this is also a case where flattening or framing can come in handy, because if you flatten the data that's expressed with chaining, then you've gone down to just a reference and you've extracted out, say, the label information. So you wouldn't lose anything in that case.
Yeah. And I think that it should work. Did we at some time introduce a flag for using at type in some algorithm? I can't recall.
I think there's a flag in the algorithm that's needed for framing, because in that case, type is expressed as an object, which is used as a pattern.
Right.
Okay, so I've put a proposal in IRC.
Actually, the expanded form is always an array. Right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Whoops. Oh, crap. Hold on, sorry. I just lost my window. In expanded form, the value of type must
be an array of strings that are IRIs.
In expanded form, the value of type must always be an array of strings that are IRIs. And I'm also typing something else out.
I think in the other thing where you're saying, if expanded form is used to express one or four object references, that's not the expanded form. You're saying if, when expanding a value which is an object with more data, then that data would be discarded and only the ID value would be kept.
Yeah.
I think that's two proposals.
Okay, yeah.
Or a proposal and a a lemma or something.
Yeah, okay, so let me take that out. In expanded form, the value of type must always be an array of strings that are IRIs. That's the first one.
And I'm sorry, just to tick with it again. It's when expanding, right? The result of expanding.
The result of the expansion algorithm.
Yeah. Must produce an array of strings that are IRIs.
When operating on type, the result of the expansion algorithm must always result in an array of strings that are IRIs. Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Like that.
Right.
And then the second one,
is when expanding a value which is interpreted as that a key which is interpreted as that type that has a value that is an object, all key values from that object other than at ID are discarded.
Operating on type, the result of the expansion algorithm must always discard any value that is not. Can we say when operating on type, the result of the expansion algorithm must always discard any value that is not
Well, I think it's when expanding a value of a key which is interpreted as that type, the algorithm must discard everything other than the value of ID.
Do we need to say the negative form? Can't we use the first where you said then only use the IRI, the ID value?
Yeah, we could do that. So when expanding a value of a key that is interpreted as type, so in the expansion algorithm, when expanding a value,
An object
the
value.
value associated with type. The algorithm must only use Well, I guess this is if an object is detected. So if the expansion in the expansion algorithm, when expanding the value associated with type, if a JSON object is detected, only the value of ID must be used.
Okay, then what happens when you expand an object that doesn't have an ID?
Nothing. You get no value.
So there is no value. There's no B node or anything like that.
I'd say no.
Yeah,
we could get fancy like that, but I don't think we really need to.
I agree. Okay. Yeah, but we probably need to say. Perhaps it's stated more that when expanding a value of something interpreted as that type, only the value of that object if its ID key is used. If there is no such value, or if that value is not an absolute IRI, it is discarded.
This is after eventual coercion from ID, right? So that's
yes.
Just so we don't imply that string values are thrown away, but
I'm wondering if we have enough here that people can kind of understand what we're talking about.
I think so.
Greg, do you want to try typing something out? Try typing what you just said out, and we can take a look at that as well.
How does that sound?
Object value key. Extract only ID. Yeah, I mean, I think that's good enough. I think with what we have above, the entire conversation leading up to this, I think people can figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay, let me wordsmith it. Let me combine your proposal and my one and see if we end up with something that's more specific. So in the expansion algorithm, when expanding the value associated with type, extract only the ID from that value. Any value that does not expand to an absolute IRI must be discarded. Does that work?
Yeah, I think that's it makes it clear what we mean. Ultimately, there'll be use cases that flesh this out, and we should probably figure out a way to make the test cases we use for this stuff more accessible.
What do you mean by more accessible?
Well, there's no simple way from the website to see them all.
Okay, right. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, maybe in the playground somehow.
Yeah, we had intended to do that, or there was discussion on doing that at one point. I need to upgrade the playground to use the latest RDFA code. I think that
right.
Make it look nicer. Okay, anyway, that's it's something else to do in our code
okay,
free
so
time.
Let me
okay, plus
one,
yeah. So plus one. Okay. All right, and that is our time for the call today. Tomorrow we're going to try and discuss this on the RDF working group call. I haven't seen an agenda go out there, so I don't know if that's happening. Okay. Good that we've made progress and continue to do so. So that's always nice to see. Okay. Have a great week, guys. Thanks for the time, and we'll chat next week.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.